and welcome back to TBR,
the podcast where we both drink and spill the tea on books from your TBR lists.
I'm Liv.
And I'm Alicia.
This episode, we are reviewing the first half of Blood and Honey by Shelby Moran.
Yes.
The sequel to Serpent and Dove.
Yes. Well, last week our episodes were in two parts, and so it will be the same this week. And now, at the end of this week, hopefully you guys will be able to get the second part of this review.
That's the intention.
So, TBR check-in. How are you going?
I'm going well. I've been exhausted.
Yes.
Soon I'll be moving back to Melbourne. So I've been doing a lot of apartment inspections recently. So that's been exhausting. Lots of travelling.
It's very exciting though.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm ready to like set up new bookshelves, really get into it.
Have a tea collection.
Oh yeah, I'll have a shrine for books and tea. Yeah,
you better.
Oh yeah. And I think I mentioned a few episodes ago, maybe, I am currently in the process of rereading the Stalking Jack the Ripper series.
Yes.
And I'm at the last book, which I haven't actually read before. And there's a plot twist. Like, I kind of expected the other plot twists in all the other books.
Yeah.
This one I didn't see coming.
This one hit different.
Yeah, it did. And I'm sad because I think my ship is going to suffer from it.
No!
I tweeted about it. I was like, ever, like, read a series and the first few books are, like, super good and happy and then all of a sudden, like, the last two ruin the ship.
No.
I'm so upset. Anyway, I haven't finished it yet, so we'll see how we go.
Yeah.
If you want to check it out, Stalking Jack the Ripper series by Kerry Maniscalco. I'm reading the fourth and final book, Capturing the Devil.
Yes, I cannot wait to start that series.
What about you? How's your week been?
It hasn't been too bad, actually. I'm also quite tired, but like, we're halfway through January now. We're a bit more than halfway. And so the Christmas spirit's kind of worn off and everyone's getting ready to get back to school or work. And yeah, I feel like we're all just a little bit worn out.
Yeah. It was a very busy Christmas. And I think especially with coronavirus, everyone's absolutely exhausted.
Oh, exactly. But yeah, I'm also quite excited to move back to Melbourne. I love the hustle and bustle of the city. I feel like every time I go out somewhere, something different happens and I run into different people and there's just opportunities everywhere there.
Oh, and on other exciting news, one of our listeners, you can find her on TikTok at Crafty Stitchy Yogi, I believe, tagged us in a post. There is a website where you can buy fandom inspired tea.
Yes.
I like ran to my laptop as soon as I saw the tag and like looked it up. It literally looks amazing.
It does. I love the aesthetic. They passed the vibe check. It is so gorgeous.
Yes. I was like, I added so many dollars worth of tea in my cart. But then when I went to the shipping to Australia is always so expensive on like American and English sites.
Yeah, it is.
It kind of sucks. Like, I don't know if I want to pay $25 for shipping for some tea.
Yeah, true. But you guys should definitely check them out if you guys are in America.
Yes. The website is called Adagio Teas.
And we'll link the website in the description.
Yes. I've seen so many good ones. I've seen some Cruel Prince inspired ones, lots of Sarah J. Maas inspired ones.
They also have like iced teas.
It's amazing. I'm here for it.
Same.
But yes, if you do live in the United States, it's free shipping, I believe, over $50 or something.
Yes, exactly.
So you buy that tea.
Yeah, you go for it, girl, and let us know how it is.
And another exciting note, the Bookish Vault, which we are brand reps for, have just released a new line of bookmarks. Well, many new lines of bookmarks. I think there was 8 designs in total from my memory. And they're all live now on Etsy at The Bookish Vault. So go check them out. They're literally stunning.
They are. And they're very practical. Like, I think everyone has different desires on how you want to, like, mark your books. Like, some people like the ones with the magnetic things. Mm-hmm. And some people just like, you know, the good old, like, cardboard paper in the middle. So there's just so many options for you guys. And it just caters for all of our needs.
Yes. We were lucky enough to reveal the magnetic bookmarks and the Raven Cycle bookmarks. So if you head over to our Instagram, you can check them out.
Yes, definitely. So, what tea are you drinking today?
Today I'm drinking hot lemon water with some honey, which isn't really a tea, but I had to incorporate honey somewhere in there.
Yeah, we can have the drink and spill the tea still.
Yeah, yeah, of course we can. Yeah,
it's fine. I mean, the name of the book is Blood and Honey.
Exactly.
So you got the honey and I don't have blood.
I mean, I sure hope you have blood.
Oh, yeah.
Not drinking blood. Vampire Edward Carlisle.
I am Esme.
What are you drinking this episode?
I'm drinking chai tea because they really like their sticky buns, and I feel like they have a cinnamon flavor. I remember it being mentioned somewhere, and chai tea has a bit of that spiciness to it. So that's what I'm having today.
Nice, nice, nice.
Hmm.
So before we get started, as always, there are spoilers in this episode for the first half of Blood and Honey.
Yes. And maybe slight foreshadowing for the second half too.
Yes, but we don't explicitly spoil anything from the second half as of yet.
No, definitely not. So without further ado, let's jump straight in.
So we start off and Lou, Beau, Madame LaBelle, Coco, Ansel, Reed. Have I forgotten anyone?
I really hope not.
The cat.
Yeah, the cat.
Did I say Lou?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the whole crew's there and they're still kind of in hiding after the events that happened in Serpent and Dove.
Yes.
And Lou's like trying to cook bread out of, I think, some dirt and moss or something that she found. And she's like, I'm cooking bread because I don't want to smell like those weird onions that, like, Beau's eating. Beau and Ansel are, like, insulting the bread. They're like, is that even edible? And Reed comes along and he's like, well, I'm sure it's fine.
So obviously he want to get some action by complimenting her buns.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
He also brings news that there's a little stream up further, but Madame LaBelle is like, nope, you are forbidden to leave the camp.
Yeah. She's like, son, this is your curfew time. You are not allowed. This is the forbidden forest.
She's stepping up now. She's like, I must channel my inner mom.
Yeah, finally, for like a second.
Yes. And they kind of just move on from that. And Reed's like, I'll eat my wife's bread. And he eats it and he totally chokes.
It's disgusting. Choking on some buns. Anyways, and they're all kind of gathered and they're just trying to, you know, make a living or whatever, because they basically have almost no resources.
So Lou brings out a bottle of wine that she nicked from someone somewhere and she gives it to Ansel and she's like, happy birthday. And he's like, my birthday isn't for like a month. Like, thank you so much, but it's not for a month. And she's like, oh, and he's like, but I've never been given a gift before.
Oh.
And I cried a little bit. I thought it was so sweet.
Yeah.
And then Beau and Coco are like, lol, he's literally like 16. He probably can't even handle this alcohol. And Ansel's like, And then I think it's described as he unhinges his jaw and downs half the bottle.
Oh my God.
And then Ansel, he's like, goes down smooth. And Beau and Coco are shook.
He's going to be passed out within 30 seconds.
Well, apparently he used to drink a lot when he was younger or something. So he has like a really high alcohol tolerance. What surprises me, because he's like a twig.
Yeah. But also, he probably hung out with all the other chasseurs who were a lot older.
Yeah, but still, I would have thought, given his build, he'd be a lightweight.
Yeah, that liver is working double time.
Yeah. It's like, let's keep on going over here. Yeah,
that's right. And so, yeah, he's pretty good at drinking. Everyone's shook. It's a nice bonding moment, I think, like, to just find a bit of light in this dark situation.
Mm.
And Madame LaBelle is not celebrating.
No, she's not. She's a bit salty.
She's like, so salty. She's like, Lou, why would you leave camp to get this wine? Like, you are not supposed to leave this camp.
Irresponsible.
Right? Except Madame LaBelle is actually irresponsible, but it's fine. And Lou's like, you like can't tell me what to do. And also it was Ansel's birthday. So she grabs Lou and she's like, we need to talk strategy for like the rest of our lives. Like, what are we planning on doing? And Lou's like, I don't feel like doing that right now. This is not great timing. We need to do this tomorrow instead of today. Today we celebrate Ansel. Tomorrow we celebrate death.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. I'm also still just curious in general why Lou thought it was so necessary to celebrate it today.
Maybe she was trying to cheer everyone up because everyone's been so stressed.
I definitely think she doesn't think they're going to last another month. But either way, oh, like,
oh, that's true. That is so true.
So then we switch to Reed's perspective and him and Lou are having a bit of a snuggle in their tent. And then the cat from Serpent and Dove comes in and we find out that Lou actually named him Absalon and yes, he's a Matago, which are restless spirits that are drawn to troubled souls. So we're thinking probably he's drawn to Reed because he's obviously got all this inner turmoil about being a witch.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, he's going through it, like, his entire life has been changed, so obviously he must be the troubled soul.
Oh, yeah.
So during this little cuddle sesh, they're kind of planning for the next day. They're just discussing what's kind of gone on.
And they're catching, they're spilling the tea.
Yeah. How long do you think it's been since that whole battle went down?
I feel like not long.
Yeah. But also, it's long enough that Lou's actually, like, gone into town or whatever to steal wine.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like maybe like a few days.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I feel like if they haven't already thought of a plan, then it can't be that long.
Yeah, that's very true. I think maybe Lou, in her off time of settling into the forest, went out to get wine. But her and Reed are actually discussing Morgane because, you know, obviously she's, like, the main villain, especially in the last book. And they're discussing the idea of people being born evil.
Because, I think it's actually so interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it nature or nurture?
Exactly. Being both a psychology student and a criminology student, I just find this idea so fascinating.
Yes.
Like, what causes people to do bad actions?
Yeah. Is it the way that they were brought up? Is it their attachment styles?
Can you be born inherently evil?
Can you?
I love it. I think it's so great.
Yes, me too.
And then I guess talking about, like, parental figures, they move on to talking about the Archbishop, and they're kind of trying to discuss whether or not there will be a funeral, because obviously he was, like, super popular, but also he did sleep with La Dame de Sorcières.
Yeah.
But I think in the end they kind of just agree there's most likely going to be a funeral, but they definitely cannot attend it, because they will be caught.
Yeah, and also Reed killed him.
Yeah, look, probably not great form.
No, definitely not. And I guess Reed is having a little bit of inner turmoil about the fact that he literally killed Lou's father. Yes. And also his own father.
I think he's more upset about it being Lou's father, though. At least that's how I've read it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's just thinking, like, God, I literally just killed my wife's father.
Yeah.
They got such little time together.
Yeah. It is interesting, though. Oh, that's why. Because he knows how good Archbishop would have been. So that's why he's upset. Because him and Lou didn't have a lot of time together, so he probably feels really guilty about that.
Well, to be fair, the Archbishop literally told Lou he hated her.
Because she a witch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, true. I don't know, there's a lot of, tell you what, Christmas with this family.
Oh my gosh.
Lots of drama, I can tell.
Glad Archbishop isn't there. He'd just be praying.
He's like, no one shall suffer at a witch's hands.
Yeah, like before everyone eats, everyone's like, say grace. And it's like, oh, he beat us to it like 50 times already. So let's just eat.
Exactly.
Yes. And I guess Lou doesn't really want to talk about it that much. Like, yeah, she's just trying to distract Reed a little bit. You know, be like, it's not your fault, buddy. I would have died. Like, I literally would have died. So it's okay.
Not your problem at all, buddy. Good job.
Yeah, exactly. We can move on. And so she's putting the moves on him and it gets a little saucy.
She's totally trying to give him a hand job.
Yeah, where everyone else is, like, also around.
Yeah, it's literally a communal tent. And Reed is so into it. He's, like, grinding and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like, oh, there are people here, though. I don't know how I feel about this. He's super conflicted.
Yeah, his mama's there, too.
Ugh. Disgusting.
LaBelle's like, I told you not to get outside of the tent, but get out!
Exactly. Yeah, basically, he, like, wrenches himself away, and he's like, I need to think of other things. Let's think, you know, like, oh, my God, death, murder. Oh, my God, my mom!
My mom is
literally here. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, look, that's fixed that situation.
Awesome.
And then Lou goes to touch him again, and Bo's like, hello, yes, I'm here.
I love Bo.
I love him, too. I think he's such a great character.
He is. I feel like this is the start of Bo becoming, like, more present.
For some reason, I have a feeling that maybe Bo is based off a real Bo.
Maybe.
Because I think the dedication in this book is to Bo.
Interesting.
Give me a hot sec. Let me just check.
Yeah.
The dedication says, for Bo, James, and Rose, who I love unconditionally.
Poor James and Rose, who did not get a
They didn't even make the cut.
No, they didn't.
Anyway, back to the book. On that note, Lou's like, so this stream that you were talking about, let's go. And
they go, even though Madame LaBelle's like, no. But I think at this point, they're like, who are you to tell us what to do?
Well, they're also like, it's literally midnight. We can be back before she even wakes up. She won't even know.
Yeah, they're sneaking out of the parents' house.
Oh, it is a bit of a teenage situation, isn't it?
So cute.
Anyway, and Reed's like, before we go, are you all good with Morgane? Like, I know you're a bit stressed about it. And she's like, piss off. and he has a bit of a sad boy hour.
Yeah, obviously she's not all good about it, but,
what else can you do if someone tells you to go away like that?
Yeah, and also I feel like she's tried, like, a few times in this scene especially to, like, get the moves on, and he just keeps on being like, are you okay with this? Are you okay with this? I'm sorry I killed your father. Like, I'm sorry about your mom. And she's like, I'm literally trying to have sex with you, and you're, like, distracting.
But I also think maybe on the other hand, she's trying to distract herself from bigger issues at hand.
Oh,
and he's absolutely. Like, that is not a healthy way of coping.
Absolutely. She really deals with things in sex. It's what you get for visiting the brothel as a hobby.
Truth, truth.
Yes. Anyways, and so now they've arrived at the stream and, you know, they're stripping down naked.
Having a bit of a skinny dip.
Yep, that's right. And because, you know, we all know now that Reed is actually a witch, I guess Lou really wants Reed to just embrace this kind of witchiness more and understand it a little bit more.
I think she thinks it's bonding. She's like, we can be the bestest witchy couple ever.
That's right. Power couple. Brangelina. And ooh. So, yeah.
That was a very insensitive joke there.
Sorry. I completely forgot. I'm still mourning their demise.
Do you want to hear a fun story? When I was much younger, I think I must have been like, I was young, yeah. Is the point. We had this black chicken named Brangelina.
Oh.
And one day, Brangelina passed away. Oh. And we're like, that really sucks. Oh, I tell you what. A week later,
Brangelina broke up.
They did.
Stop.
And we thought it was foreshadowing.
Stop. Do 100%. You have a Matigo?
A troubled chicken?
Yeah, and then it went and found Brangelina and brought them down. Rude.
Anyway, we were super shook, so we're like, damn. And I think that's something I'll remember forever, to be honest.
Oh, I will too. I remember Brangelina.
She was a good chicken.
She was so good. But yes, so Lou's trying to teach Reed how to heat up water. She's like, getting steamy here. Why not physically do that too? And she's like, all right, well, this masterclass must start with what you already know. So we know what foundation you have. And Reed's like, I literally know nothing. Like, I've not...
literally.
Yeah, he has not exposed himself to the world of witches. He doesn't know his potential. He doesn't even know how to tie his shoes. So
he's like, I literally know as much as I did right at the start of Serpent and Dove, which is a nothing, apparently.
Exactly. And so Lou's like, well, that's okay. Like, we have time. I'll teach you. And she's putting on the moves again.
High key.
She's just really wanting it. In the water, too. I feel like that's...
a naked.
Yeah, but in the water, like the friction. Anyways.
Anyway, they're like getting super close together. And all of a sudden, Reed hears the Archbishop speaking. And he's like, did you hear that? And Lou's like, hear what?
And it's the Archbishop like, use protection.
No. He's actually saying, you were like a son to me, Reed.
The Archbishop really is the ultimate cockblock.
And he's not even alive.
No, he's just haunting them.
That is literally the ultimate cockblock.
Oh, absolutely. And so, obviously, this dampens the mood and they just talk about their lives a little bit more, and Reed's kind of like, I'm having hallucinations.
Pretty much.
What are we going to do about it?
I think he was just like, oh, I thought I heard, oh, it doesn't matter. And Lou's like, when I ran away at 16 from Chateau LeBlanc, the trees made me hallucinate your siblings, all bloody and dying. And he's like, nice. What a great image.
Cool story. Good stuff, bro. Now I'm definitely not in the mood.
And then at this moment, they also notice that the blood that Coco smeared on them has come off in the water.
Yes, so that offers them no protection from magic or outside world.
Exactly. They're like, oh, shit, this is not a good time.
Yeah, that's why they couldn't go in the stream. We get it now.
Yeah. And Lou sees something over Reed's shoulder, and all of a sudden she just, like, dunks both of them in the water.
And he's like, oh, sexy playing time, okay. But it wasn't. So, as Lou's, like, thrashing him down into the water.
Thrashing? That makes it sound so violent.
It was violent. She was
true, I guess she was like, we gotta get down there.
Yeah, that's right. But his vision's blurry because he's underwater, but he sees, like, the blue coats of the chasseurs, and he's like, oh no, like, they're gonna catch me. This is really, really bad. And so he's trying to hold his breath, and I think he's just, like, fighting it, and Lou's like, no, you are staying down. So he's like, all right, I guess if we die, we die together. Like, he's kind of, like, accepting his death.
There's worse ways to die.
Yeah, he was like, could be burned alive like Estelle, which I did. Oh, feeling guilty. No, he didn't think that. But he was like, there are really, really a lot worse ways to die. At least I'm with Lou. This is it. And so as he's, like, losing consciousness...
Okay, sorry, but also, that's kind of a bad way to die at the same time. Like, oh. He's literally was captain of the chasseurs.
Yeah.
And... just a little bit of water in the lungs. That's it.
Yep, that's right. He's like...
like, I would have thought he would die... you know, he's probably like, I want to die defeating Morgan. Like...
for Lou. Yeah. Die for Lou.
Self-sacrifice. No, just a little pond.
Yeah.
Got to him.
Just because of the sexy time.
So sexy, you just combusted.
Right. So he's losing consciousness now.
And Lou's like, I know how to fix this. It's okay. I'm just going to wind up my arm and give Reed a really good punch to the gut.
Perfect.
I'm gonna
way.
Go straight in there.
Perfect.
So obviously he gasps.
Yeah.
And he's like, hang on, I'm fine, bro. I'm
I can
good.
Breathe.
Exactly.
They had some gillyweed.
And I guess Lou's obviously doing some magic. So they can also hear the people outside the stream talking. And they're being like, I gotta piss. But we gotta hurry because Captain Toussaint wants to get back to his girl. And Reed's like, Jean-Luc, his girl? What?
Jean-Luc isn't in love with me? What?
I thought we were together forever.
I thought we were, like, stranded lovers, but it's fine.
Oh, man. Oh, well. But yeah, Reed's like, how rude that my best friend has a girl.
And he didn't tell me.
Exactly. Reed, in conjunction with worrying about Jean-Luc and his girl, he's like, oh my god, my balisada is on the stream.
Yes.
They're going to see it. They're going to grab it. This balisada is my life.
Exactly.
And he's also panicking because Lou is beginning to lose consciousness.
Yeah, because she's trying to keep them, you know, airtight.
Mm, and he's like, I got to look for a pattern somewhere, and he just can't find anything. And in the end, he just grabs Lou and takes them to the top of the stream.
Yes. And so now we're back in Lou's perspective, and she wakes up. But she sees that Reed is next to her, and he was very, very close to being dead.
Yes.
Like, he was on death's door. And so, in order to save Reed, Lou has to perform magic. And as we all know, you need to give something in order to take something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole rule. And so she offers the memory of her mother, Morgan, saying, I love you to her, in order to save Reed.
Yes.
Because, obviously, the pond or lake or whatever was quite cold, and I think he's like freezing to death or something like that. It's a combination of many things. And so the reason why Lou chose this exact line or exact memory is because it is the warmest that she's ever felt from someone, is her mother Morgan saying that she loves her.
Literally the cheesiest thing ever. The warmth of the memory. Yeah. For the body heat to my husband.
Yeah, she was really dragging that on, but it's fine.
But also it's a very creative, abstract kind of trade.
Oh, absolutely. Like, finding a reason to make things make sense.
Good job, Lou.
Yes.
And Reed becomes conscious again.
Yes.
And Lou's really pissed because she's realised that Reed used magic to give her his body heat.
Yes.
And she's like, let go of it right now. And he's like, I can't, I don't know how. She's like, let go of the heat.
He is not trained.
Yeah, anyway, eventually it's all good.
Yes.
And Reed tells Lou what happened. He's like, I had to come to the surface and I had to choose between you or Du Bois. And I chose you.
Good boy.
Good boy. Happy wife, happy life.
That's right. And so Lou's like, okay, story checks out. That's cool. I'm just gonna, like, go somewhere else for a while. And so out of concern, Reed's like, I'll come with you. Like, we gotta stay together. It's still nighttime. Like, it's
not daylight.
Oh, yeah,
I keep on forgetting that.
Yeah, so it's dangerous. But she's like, oh, no, like, I have to go to pee. Do you want to come with me for that?
And he's like, no, no, oh, no.
Literally.
I'm a holy chasseur.
They're a married couple, though. I'm like, why not?
Anyways, I mean, it was the 1800s, we're thinking.
Oh, that's true.
Calm down.
Women don't pee in the 1800s.
No. No. What is peeing?
What is peeing? That's for men. Anyways, so Reed obviously leaves her to do her thing. And so Lou goes back to where the chasseurs were, and she finds one that's, like, twitching or something. He was still kind of alive.
Yeah, I think he maybe was just knocked out.
Yeah. And so she ends up killing him, and
she uses his own balisada to slash his throat.
Yeah. And so back at the camp, Madame LaBelle is obviously very angry because she told them not to do it, and now they have, and now they've gotten in weird trouble, and all this bloodshed has happened.
Yes, and Lou kind of explains what happens, and that makes her even more mad because she's like, you literally should not tamper with memories.
Yeah, exactly. Because
it's like, witchy rules 101. You don't do it.
No, you're meant to sacrifice other stuff, apparently.
Like your hair colour.
Yeah, your hair colour.
Why didn't she do that? The warmth of her brown hair. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of other alternatives than the warmth of America. But maybe she was so panicked that she's like, this is literally the first thing I could think
of. Yeah, and also she's not super trained because she left. And so she probably didn't know exactly what to do and it was just like the easiest option.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, and so they actually receive a letter from Coco's auntie.
Mm-hmm.
From La Dame de Voisin, who is the leader of the Blood Witches.
Yes.
And the letter basically just says that they are not happy to host or take care of Reed because he's the captain of the Chasseurs. Like, it's gonna make some people really uncomfortable.
I think it might even more... The drama really stems for the fact that the aunt's being like, I'm not gonna ally with you because you're in cahoots with a Chasseur.
Yeah, that's right.
Even though Reed's obviously an ex-Chasseur.
Yeah, but, you know, they can't trust that. Like, they haven't met them yet.
Exactly. And then they're like, okay, so obviously we can't rely on Coco's aunt. Maybe we can ally and unite. I don't want to say monsters, but, like, the witches, the werewolves, all that kind of crew.
Yeah, because there are werewolves. And they're called Loup-Garou in this series.
I feel like you and I have just butchered how it's pronounced. Sorry. I feel like maybe it's, like, Loup-Garou. For all you French listeners.
We're so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Anyways, we're just going to say the werewolves.
Yes.
And then after this, Lou receives a note.
And yeah, it's kind of a creepy note. And she reads it out and Ansel's like, that sounds like sad poetry. And then they realize that the note can only be from Morgane.
Yes. And now we're back in Reed's perspective. And he realizes that this note partially refers to the Archbishop's funeral.
He's quite smart. Like, yeah. I feel like he's so stupid a lot of the time that when he's like, you know, it's like symbolic of the funeral, I was like, damn.
Reed reads.
There's actually a brain in there.
Yeah, that's right. And obviously, this is not great vibes because, you know, Reed's really upset about the whole Archbishop thing. And the note does not make the funeral sound like it's gonna go down very well. Like, it seems like she's planning something.
Definitely. And Reed's like, I want to stop her.
Yeah, exactly. And Lou's like, good plan, good plan. And so, on an earlier note, Lou says to Coco, I need to write a letter in reply to your aunt because we need protection.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't convince her to host Reed, who is an ex-chasseur, so it makes sense. So they have to split up and she's just going to write a letter and see how it goes with that.
Yes. And Reed's like, I don't want to split up. And Lou's like, well, that's too bad because I do. I think it was a great plan.
Yeah. She's like, I came up with it all by myself.
Exactly. And then we switch to Lou's perspective and kind of the whole crew's together, but not Reed. I don't really know where he is at this point. And they're basically just chatting about dyeing Lou's hair because obviously she's so recognizable as the daughter of La Dame de Sorcières.
Yeah, they need a really good disguise.
Exactly.
Why didn't LaBelle do something?
I don't think she really has much magic left. Oh, something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fair. The nose job for Beau was just too much.
Exactly. And they also briefly argue about who the Matago is there for.
Yeah, because the cat just lingers around and they don't know exactly which person they're following.
Yeah, we're pretty sure it's Reed, but someone else, I can't remember who, was like, what if it's here for Lou? And she's like, impossible.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not troubled.
My husband, on the other hand,
he's very troubled.
He troubled.
Yeah, that's right.
He is trouble, wink wink.
Oh, yeah, he is. And so Lou basically just decides that the group is going to have to split. And so she's told Reed, Beau, and Madame LaBelle to go one way, and Lou, Coco, and Ansel to go to Coco's aunt's house.
And then they kind of return to the conversation about dyeing hair, and Beau's like, you know what? I'm actually a hairdresser. I'm really good at it. I can dye your hair. With these conveniently present substances in Coco's backpack.
He's given him some natural highlights just in the dark.
Yeah, I think they're trying to turn her like auburn or blonde or something. Anyway, and he's like, let me like put this paste on your hair. We'll leave it half an hour. It's fine. And Lou's like, are you sure you know what you're doing? And he's like, I mean, I saw someone do it once and I lay there naked next to her feeding her strawberries.
Yeah, perfect.
So when I say I know, I mean I've observed it and then got bored and left.
Yeah, he's a connoisseur.
Exactly. Anyway, whilst they're waiting, Ansel is questioning a lot about witches. And we work out that he's really hoping his mum might have been a witch because he is hoping that maybe he's like Reed and that he has magic.
All he wants to be is like Reed.
I think he just wants to be useful.
But also, he's an orphan, so I feel like he just wants to know also, like, where he's from.
True, definitely. I do think that. But yeah, I think my main thing is that he just feels like he's been such a burden and is useless to the rest of the group. Like, he's a liability.
Yeah, exactly. And so Lou notices this and agrees to teach Ansel how to fight.
And Ansel, yeah, he's satisfied with that and he heads off for a little bit. So it's just Bo and Lou chilling. And then all of a sudden, Lou's like, my hair kind of burns.
Yeah, it stings.
And she goes up to touch it, and a chunk of her hair falls out.
The bleaching is really bad.
Talk about nightmare haircuts.
Yeah, that guy, if that guy, I forgot what his name is, but he reviews really bad hairdressing things on YouTube, and he would not approve of this.
Oh, he's not like Brad someone, is he?
Yeah, Brad.
Brad.
Yeah.
I feel like, does he have like bleached hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, anyway. Seems like an absolute dye job from hell.
Yes.
And it's also, like, so white now.
Yeah, it's, like, brittle and white.
Yeah, and Lou is furious. And Reed's like, hey, are you okay? And she grabs Reed's knife and just starts, like, hacking off her hair.
Yeah. Now she got a little bob or something. A pixie cut.
Yeah. I kind of vibe that maybe she just, like, shaved her head. Because I feel like that's something she would do. But also, I don't think she would she?
No.
She's a bob gal.
They got no clippers. Yeah, it's just whatever's most convenient.
Mm.
Salvaging what hair's left.
Exactly. And then there's kind of a cute Reed and Lou moment. And Reed's like, did you know one time I grew my hair out? And she's like, you did not. And he's like, yeah, the main guy in La Vie Infirmière had really long hair. So when I was 14, I was like, I think I need to do that. Reed was a total fanboy.
He was such a fanboy. That's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, oh my gosh, he's sitting there at the age of like prime 13, just like loving everything about the theatre.
I love it. I think it's so cute.
Yeah.
But he eventually had to cut his hair because one time during training, Jean-Luc just grabbed it and tugged it as a dirty fighting technique.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Jean-Luc is in love with Reed because it's the whole pulling the pigtails thing.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Anyways, and we move on a little bit and Lou's like, all right, Ansel, you want to be useful? Let's start training. Let's do some combat work.
And he's like, now?
Yeah. He's like, I just had lunch.
And she's like, well, too bad. Let's do it.
Yeah. And Ansel is dreadful.
He's really bad at it.
He is. Even for a beginner, apparently he's just very, very bad.
And he's super put out. And Lou's like, it's not bad for your first time. And he's like, yeah, but it's not my first time. Like, all the other chasseurs laughed at me because I'm so bad.
Aww.
I just really feel fan. He's honestly my favourite character. He's so sweet.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, we're agreeing on our favourite character.
Is that the first time this ever happened?
I think so.
Who's your favourite character in Shadow and Bone?
Nikolai. Barbara.
Oh. Mine was Nikolai.
Oh, actually, mine was Nikolai too. I thought you were going to say the Darkling.
He's a snack.
Yeah.
But
oh yeah,
Nikolai
okay.
was my favorite.
Guess it's not our first time because mine's Nikolai. As a joke, it's Barbara, but yeah. Anyways, so now we're back in Reed's perspective and they're at a tavern to try to gather a bit of information about, I guess, what people have heard about them.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a guy there and I think his name's Roy or something and he's chatting with his crew and he's like, yeah, we're going to Caesarine for the funeral. And Lou's like, that is the tea. Let me eavesdrop some more.
Yes.
And we also find out that Caesarine apparently now has patrolling going on and chaperones.
Yeah, I mean, everything that happened at the chateau.
Super high security.
Super high security. And so Lou's trying to, you know, gather a bit more info. She's like, I want to know. She starts speaking in a really badly done, like, Cockney accent.
It's really bad.
It is. But it kind of works because she finds out that apparently the chasseurs are having a tournament because obviously the captain is MIA and they need to replenish the ranks.
Because so many people died at the Battle of... I'm just going to call it the Battle of Chateau LeBlanc.
Yeah. And also a few of them got killed off just right before at the creek too.
So. Oh yeah, that one too.
They really got to like, they're having a hard time. And then a man named Claude Devereaux joins.
I think there's like a bit of a circusy troupe traveling at the moment. And he's basically the fiddler for the troupe.
Yeah.
And he's kind of being weirdly familiar with Lou. Like very, I don't know, just very familiar. Like he knows her. And she feels super uncomfy. She's like, ooh, this is not a vibe.
Yeah. And I feel like she feels a little bit like put on the spot because he really, really wanted to talk to her. Like he was just like, where are you from? Like just chatting her up. And she's like, I really need to go because I don't want to get found out. And so she stands up because he's obviously coming a bit too close and her hood falls off.
Yes. And so does the ribbon at her neck. And Roy and his buddies see and he's like, oi, you're that witch everyone's looking for, Louise LeBlanc.
Yes. So obviously a fight ensues and Lou is really, really good. Like she's really good. She's great. And she's a badass and she's like, you know, slashing all these people and being really good at defense.
Reed is shook. He's like, my wife is such a badass and so hot.
Yeah. And Reed's like trying to do something. I don't know. He's like delegating and he's like, Coco, go outside with the others to keep the disguise. Because only Lou so far has been found out.
Yes.
But Reed's got to stay there as her husband.
Just couple tings.
Yeah.
And then there's like some more fighting and all of a sudden, Lou, like, spins into Reed and just kisses him really hard, smack bang on the mouth, and it's hot.
I love this little, like, calm within the chaos. It's like the eye of the hurricane. It's great.
I don't even feel like it's calm within the chaos. I feel like it's the chaos within the calm. Hear me out. I feel like Lou fights as if it's, like, a dance.
Yes.
Like, she's just so graceful with all of her movements. And yes. Reed as well, like, training for so long. And then all of a sudden, it's just like this
power couple.
Flash of passion.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
true. Ooh. They're like doing their thing.
Oh, I love it. Me too. I think it's so great.
I really love it too. And during this battle, Lou's like, now would be a really, really good time for you to try to use some magic, Reed. And Reed's like, I thought about it. I'm not going to do it. Like,
I think he just can't. That's it's too. Like when you have to, you know, this is going to be totally TMI for all you listeners, but you know, at this point in the podcast,
it's fine.
You know us.
We're family.
We are. You know when you, like, go to a public restroom and there's other people in there? I just feel so pressured. Like, I can't pee. I'm like, someone's gonna hear. Yeah. Even though it's, like, a bathroom.
No, I get it. I need someone to be using the hand dryer.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I just need to, yeah. Or if someone's, like, waiting for me outside, I'm like, this is the most stressful experience I've ever been in. And I feel like this is like Reed with the magic. He's like, oh, there's too much pressure. I can't.
Yeah, if you're with your coworker and then you guys both go into the cubicles and then you're like, oh no, who's going to pee first? Who's going to pee first? No. I totally get you. Yeah.
Reaching new points of friendship on this podcast, guys.
That's right. Reed's pee shy, so are we. So obviously Reed doesn't use his magic, which is understandable. He's still new at it. And all of a sudden, a knife just flies at Lou.
Mm-hmm.
And she stops it with magic.
Yes.
And turns it back around.
Yeah, it's insane. And we find out that in order to perform this maneuver, Lou actually had to sacrifice the air from her lungs. And Reed's like, oh my god, that's intense, bro.
Yeah, don't do that. That's so dumb.
And then all of a sudden, he's like fighting like mad. And he realizes, I think the quote is, she was using me as a fucking marionette.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, this is not good for their couple therapy exercises of talking things out.
No.
And not manipulating each other.
Yeah, he's quite mad about it.
He's not happy at all. And then Devereaux, or Claude, appears and he's like, it's poor form to discuss beheading a lady in front of her. And then he does something and the whole building explodes.
Yeah. And now we're back in Lou's perspective, and Lou lunges out of the building with men coming at them with, like, pitchforks. And so as she's running, she hears the voice of her mother in her head saying, I'm coming for you, darling, as
she's
running. And then
she blacks out.
Yeah, and then she blacks out.
So much is going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of fight scenes at the beginning of books.
Yeah, it doesn't help the dipping the toe into the water. It just, like, pushes you straight in.
To be fair, I guess this is a sequel, so it's not like we had to build the world to start with. But either way, I would have liked a bit more easing into it.
Yeah, maybe a bit of context would be good too.
Yeah.
Or maybe not as big of a fight scene, but...
Yeah.
I didn't mind it. And so when Lou wakes up, she wakes up to people basically arguing because they've just been through a stressful situation. And Coco's kind of like, not bitching about her, but she's just
Oh no, she's 100% bitching about her, but in a subtle way.
Yeah, and I don't think she knew that Lou was awake.
No, but... Lou's pretending to be asleep still.
Yeah, exactly. And Coco's like... Like, Lou can be really erratic with magic. Like, I know, like, she didn't think it through. Like, that was really stupid. And Reed's like, yeah, that was really stupid.
And he goes to compare her with Morgan.
Mm.
But Coco's like, don't you dare.
Yeah, she's nothing like her.
And Lou's like, oh, morning, guys.
Morning. So I had a thought. I do want to separate from Reed. No. But she does think that that's the best option. And she agrees that Reed, Beau, and Madame Labelle should go to La Ventre, which is the pack land of the Loup Garou, which are the werewolves. Because again, they're trying to get all these creatures together.
Yes. And Lou's basically like, Madame Labelle will disguise you guys. And Coco's having a bit of a lull.
Yeah.
She's like laughing and she's like, oh, I can't wait to hear this one. Go ahead, Reed, you tell her. And Reed's like, I refuse to be around magic. I won't stand for it.
No. And I think Lou's a little bit upset.
She is. She's like, I think she looks really in her head, and Reed notices, and he's like, it's not what you think it is. Stop thinking that. And she's like, but I am magic. And he's like, no, you're not. You're someone with magic. But either way, like, it's such a fundamental part of who she is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think Reed's winning any favors at this point.
No. I think he really just needs to either educate himself or just be around it a bit more. I'm not sure what his problem is at this point, but... It's affected Lou a lot.
To be fair, I feel like he is doing pretty well. Like, considering, what, we're saying he's 20, maybe like 20-something?
Yeah.
Maybe 20-ish, because I think Beau's like 21, and Reed's his younger brother, technically.
Yeah, and his entire life he's thought he was something else.
Exactly, like 20 years to have one value that you need to hate witches. He's doing surprisingly well being accepting of Lou.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially for someone with, like, high-key anger management issues.
Yeah, true, he does. Oh, gosh. What captain doesn't, though?
True. Anyway, Lou's like, okay, well, if you're not going to be around magic, I do have one alternative solution. Claude did offer to help me if I ever need it before he left.
Yes.
So why don't you and Madame Labelle and Beau go and join them?
Yes. So now we're back in Reed's perspective, and they all go over to Devereaux's place, and we get introduced to Xena.
Yes. And Lou's basically like, so you said you wanted to help? We're joining you. And Xena's like, only...
No.
Long story short.
Yeah.
She's like, only actors are allowed in the wagon. And Claude's like, well, if they wear costumes, then technically they're actors.
Perfect.
And Lou's like, yeah, you know what? Reed can be your knife thrower and Madame Labelle is his assistant. And Beau's like, I'm really good at accounting. I can do your sums.
Of course he is.
He's totally not.
No.
I don't believe him.
No.
Beau is me when I say I'm really good at maths.
No, but we all know it's like a lie. He's a prince, and so he would have gotten really good education.
Yeah. But he strikes me even as...
Not a hard worker.
Yeah. Like, he's in the classes, but he's, like, flirting with the girls in the back row or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
That's so true.
Like, he's not that dedicated.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And another woman appears, and we find out that her name is Nicolina, who is the personal assistant of La Voisin.
Yes. And she's super creepy and weird, and I kind of hate her, Ikey.
Yeah. She licked Reed's face.
Literally. She started laughing. She's like...
Circus freaks.
I'm not vibing. And she's saying, like, all this weird stuff, and Coco's like, are you gotta chill, bro?
Yeah. Yes. So, Nicolina arriving.
I guess it was, like, her being like, come on, guys. Time to go.
Yeah, I've licked his face. He can come with
Tick
us.
Tick done.
Tick done. As the crew splits up, the Madigo follows Lou.
The tea is here.
The tea is here.
Yes. So, whilst the whole of this book so far, we've been led to the impression that the Madigo is following Reed because of his torment, It's following Lou. So we're thinking there's a lot more going on in her head
than we thought. Like, there's so much to unpack.
Yes.
For her.
Oh, yeah.
We're not quite sure yet.
Mm.
But it's interesting.
So then we switch back to Lou's perspective and they arrive at the Dame Rouge camp.
Yes.
Coco's aunt wants to see all three of them, but Coco's like, ah, no, we'll speak to you after we've slept.
Yes, they're exhausted.
So they're like heading to their tent and as they're walking past, all these Dame Rouges are showing their throats to Coco and Ansel's like, well, what is going on? And we find out that it's a sign of respect and submission.
Yes.
Because essentially once Coco ingests their blood, she can control someone. So it's just like a I'm here to obey you situation.
Yeah. Wow, that's a big moment.
Yeah.
I feel like it wasn't described as big as she probably deserved.
Yeah, I feel like she needed a big moment, but we didn't get it.
Yeah, you go, Glen Coco. Anyways, and so Nicolina obviously goes with them, and she's just been, like, super weird.
Oh, she's so creepy.
She is. How old is she?
I feel like she's old.
Yeah. I feel like she can get away with it, though.
Probably. I feel like she looks really good for her age.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably all the, like...
the licking.
She's licking uses off the kids.
Oh, yeah. And so she's being super creepy, and she's saying, like, he's dead.
Just over and over again.
Yeah. And this is when Babette comes out of the tent.
And we're like, what are you doing here? Because, I don't know if you guys remember, but right at the start of Serpent and Dove, they were at the brothel, and they were meeting with Babette.
Yeah.
So to find, like, the ring.
Seeing an old friend.
Yeah. But also like a, what you doing here? And Coco's like, hey! And I think Lou's kind of like, did I miss something here? Like, yeah. I didn't know we were on good terms with her.
Yeah. And we also find out that the person that Nicolina was referring to, as in, like, he's dead, the he is actually Etienne, who is the king's bastard son.
One of them.
Yeah, one of them. One of the 26.
And his mother is one of the Dame Rouges. And apparently he went out to hunt this morning and never returned.
That's very concerning.
Yeah, not great for a child.
No.
And as they're walking through the tent, there's like lots of animals in cages, I think. And Ansel's like, oh, what are they for? Are they pets? And Coco's like, no, we use them for their blood to do divination. And he's like,
Traumatized.
Yeah, a little bit. Poor I think he's Ansel. A bit of an animal lover.
Yeah, he's also a bit of an animal. He's an animal
Calm
lover.
Down, he's 16.
Oh, yeah. It's fine.
Bone Carver 2.0.
Oh, my gosh, no. And so they go to meet with Coco's aunt, you know, having a meeting, because they're there for a reason.
They go to meet Coco's aunt to have a meeting, because they're here for the meeting.
Well, it is very important that they discuss things and the future and exactly what Coco's aunt can provide for them.
And during this meeting, they also discuss Etienne a little bit. And Coco's basically like, if we can find Etienne, you must let us leave, but also provide your alliance. And the aunt's basically like, look, I'll consider it. You have until the sun rises before I terminate my end of the deal.
Yes. And Lou's basically like, yep, done deal. We're going to try our best. And she notices that Absalon, the cat, is still there.
She's like, what message do you have for me? And he's just like chilling. And she's like, what do you want to tell me? Did Reed send you? And the cat's just vibing.
Yeah, because they want to be near troubled Lou.
Yeah. She's not on the ball today.
Definitely not.
Like, it couldn't possibly be there for her.
No, even though it follows around everywhere and has nothing to give her.
Exactly. Anyway, another lady comes in called Ismay, and she's a bit distraught, I guess, because Etienne was her son.
Yeah.
But she's also with her daughter, whose name is Gabrielle.
Yes.
And we switch to Reed's perspective, and he's having a bit of a, like, a midlife crisis. No, yeah. Like a quarter-life crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think he's remembering the men in the tavern or something like that, calling the chasseurs blue pigs.
Mm.
And he's just having this crisis because he's like, I'm not a blue pig because of the uniform, but because of my beliefs and morals.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously very stressed about it.
Yeah, I guess it's one thing to insult your profession, but it's a whole nother thing to
insult
attack someone's... Yeah,
yeah.
To attack what someone believes.
Exactly. And so they're also just, I guess, doing a bit of training.
Yeah, Reed's just throwing his knives.
Very chill. And Claude Devereaux, like, good old Claude.
Our buddy Claude.
Love Claude. He says that Reed got a bunk with the twins.
Toulouse and Terry.
Yes.
I think at the beginning of our first episode reviewing Serpent and Dove, I compared this book to Aristocats, the Disney film.
Yes.
I just want to kind of insert here, Toulouse is the name of one of the Aristocats.
No way.
It is, and I am fully set on my belief.
Oh my gosh. Oh, she was absolutely inspired off of that.
Toulouse.
And Terry. And Claude also says that Beau should go with Xena and Seraphine.
And Beau's like, oh yes, all the ladies. I think that is a terrific idea.
Yeah.
And Claude's like, well, yeah, it is a terrific idea. Because Xena and Seraphine actually
are lesbians.
Yeah, I think he said something like, their souls are entwined or something yeah, like that.
They're together. So he is hardcore third wheeling.
Oh yeah, 1000%.
Yes. And Reed actually has a suspicion that Toulouse and Terry, the twins, are witches.
Yeah, something's not really adding up for Reed. He's a bit sus about them.
Yes. And Bo and Reed actually get a little bit of time
alone.
They're just having a nice guy chat, but they kind of realize that their bloodlines are entwined too, because they're kind of half siblings.
They are. And Reed's like asking about Bo's sisters, who are like, I think 12 and 13. No, they're twins or something like that. Anyway, they're young. And Bo's telling them, and Reed's like, he's feeling a bit emotional because he's never had like a proper family before.
Yeah.
And Bo's like, oh, actually, no, don't be too happy about this. This is not a family. It's a noose. Yeah. Like, don't.
It's a death sentence.
Yeah, it was a big turnaround, to be honest. Like, he's like, oh, my lovely, lovely sisters. By the way, don't be too happy because you're totally not really involved in this family. It's crap and you don't want to be part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he just dramatically leaves because yeah, that is Bo to a T.
That is Bo. Prince Bo. Love it. And so the next morning, Madame LaBelle and Reed are just chilling, and Madame LaBelle offers him Perry.
And I guess he feels uncomfortable, like he's gone so long without a mother, and I think he's probably still feeling like a real sense of betrayal from Madame LaBelle.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, she literally abandoned him in a trash can, didn't she?
Yeah, and also he probably doesn't want to let loose around that.
Yeah, anyway, and he's like, I'm allergic to pears, even though...
He's not. No.
And yeah, they kind of bicker a little bit because Madame LaBelle's trying so hard to fix things. She's like, you're my son and, you know, I only gave you up because I had to and I worked at a brothel.
Yeah, exactly. But Reed basically just shuts her down and is like, you know what, I'm tired of excuses. Like, I'm not ready to hear this right now, so I don't want to talk about it.
And we also find out that Madame LaBelle has actually spread, not the rumour, but she's told everyone she can and told them to spread the word that Reed is the king's son. Because she's like, if people know, it'll eventually get back to the king, and the king will not try and kill Reed.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess Reed is a little bit touched, or, I don't know, he gets a little bit more evidence as to...
I mean, eventually. They do bicker quite a bit. He's like, stop, you know, you've been out of my life for 20 years, stop trying to be a part of it.
Yeah,
now.
And she's like, no, I literally am trying to right my wrongs. Like, listen exactly. To me.
And then he's like, I actually really like pears. And she's like, I got you a glass of Perry.
So cute.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like they've still got a long way to go.
They do, but this is a stepping progress. Stone. Yeah.
Baby steps.
That's right.
So at this point, we switch back to Lou's perspective, and she's walking through this forest, obviously trying to find Etienne, with Gabrielle, who is, remember, the sister of Etienne.
Yeah.
Ansel, Ismay, the mother. Nicolina. I can't remember if Coco's there or not, but basically it's a bit of a squad.
Yes.
And Ansel and Lou are kind of talking, and they kind of make the connection that if they kill Morgane, Lou's going to inherit her mother's title. Like, she will become La Dame de Sorcières, the maid, the mother, the crone, yeah, the goddess divine.
Yeah, and she'll be incredibly powerful.
Which is kind of insane.
It is. I mean, I feel like it's always been an underlying thought, but now that someone said it, it's kind of like, oh.
Yeah, and also, but it's just like Lou, who sings Big Titty Liddy.
Yeah.
She's literally going to become the ruler of all... Dame Blanches.
I know. Oh, I have hope for her.
If she can do it, I feel like I can achieve things in life.
Yeah, so can Ansel. Gabrielle's super chatty, and she's talking about how she knows a lot about Reed, and she's heard so much about him, and she really wants to meet him. She's
I love
a fangirl.
Her. I think she's so cute.
Love her.
She's like, I've heard my brother's really tall. You're quite short. How does that work? Like,
yeah.
Is my brother handsome?
Love
it's
it.
It's so sweet.
It is really sweet. I love the innocence and naivety, and like the difference in energy.
Yeah.
It's very refreshing. And Gabrielle spills the tea a little bit and says that Nicolina actually eats hearts.
That's creepy as heck.
She's also the gossip girl.
Nicolina?
Yeah.
I think Gabrielle is the gossip
that's
girl.
What I'm saying. Yeah. I think Gabrielle is the ultimate gossip queen. in this book.
Gossip Girl. Now that the Archbishop's gone, someone had to replace him.
And it was her.
Yeah, passed on the torch.
Yes. And I feel like Lou does not take the whole thing about Nicolina eating hearts well. I think she's more like, oh, good to know.
And Ansel's like, I think I'm going to vomit.
Yeah.
He, I feel like, has a weak stomach.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And so Ismay, the mother, comes back later and is like, Gabrielle, don't tell people that. Like, don't be gossiping and shit.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like, don't tell the other witches about our witchy shit.
Yeah, you know? TMI.
But also like a, you know, we have our secrets, they have theirs. If they know each other's secrets, because I think there's a feud between the Dame Blanches and the Dame Rouges,
oh, from absolutely. What I remember. Yeah, absolutely. And so Lou suddenly sees the magical pattern.
It's like a light flicker, I think.
Yes.
And she's like, vamos, my friends, we gotta go. She does a bit of a Dora. Can you see the gold cord? Can you say gold cord?
Gold cord.
And then, anyway, they follow this kind of pattern and they end back.
Hola, I'm Gabrielle.
I feel like Gabrielle is like Boots the monkey.
Yeah. Spilling all that tea. Anyways.
Yeah, anyways. They head back to the camp. Because that's where this cord is taking them. And when they get there, they see this copper-haired boy leant up against a post somewhere, dead.
Oh my gosh. Her heart would have stopped.
I feel so bad for Ismay. And Gabrielle as well. She's, I get the impression she's very young.
Yeah. Oh, I think so.
Imagine seeing your brother.
I know. Obviously, that puts a damper on their trip.
Yeah. No more gossiping for now.
Yeah. Very interesting, though, that all of a sudden Lou saw this pattern, though.
Yeah. I wonder what provoked it.
Yeah, me too. Obviously, Lou and her crew.
The Lou crew.
Yeah, the Lou crew are having a really tough time at the moment, but we quickly switch back to Reed's perspective, and he's having a little bit of a bonding moment with Toulouse.
Toulouse. I love the name Toulouse.
Really?
I don't really know why. I think it's just the way it rolls off the tongue.
The tongue, yeah.
Like, Toulouse.
Yes, so they're having a chat, getting to know each other, bunk buddies, you know, and we also find out that Terry doesn't really speak.
No, he comes off as quite shy.
Yes, and we find out that the twins are the psychics for the troop.
Yes, and I don't know, there's kind of a moment, I guess, between Reed and Toulouse says, guess which card I'm holding, and Reed's like, I literally can't guess. I don't know, and they chat a bit more, and then he's like, okay, well, when you can tell me what card I'm holding, come back, we can chat then. But until then, stay away from me.
Yeah, it's like Reed is not worthy.
Yeah. He's like, we only associate with cool witch dudes.
Yeah. And now we're back in Lou's perspective.
And we find that the body of Etienne was just burned beyond recognition, apart from his head. That's disgusting.
That's a message and a half if I've ever seen one.
Oh, yeah. And Ansel vomits. Oh, yeah. He's like, this is horrid.
I think it's been building up for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And they conclude that it's definitely the work of Morgan.
Yes. So, honestly, this is one of my favourite parts. I think it's the funniest thing ever. Lou's, like, hanging out with Ansel and Gabrielle. And Gabrielle, referencing Coco, is like, I like the princess, even though some people don't. I hope she kisses you. That's what you want, isn't it? I only want it to happen if you want it to happen. And she wants it to happen. My mama says that's called consent.
I love her gossipy rant.
I love it. It makes me laugh so hard. And Ansel's like blushing so hard. But I love that she's so
blunt.
Uninhibited with her, you know, conversation.
Yeah.
It's a very childlike thing.
It is.
And I think this book probably needed
a bit of naivety.
Just like childlike wonder.
Yeah.
Because obviously, yeah, things were fun and kind of funny at the beginning of Serpent and Dove. But now, obviously, there's a lot more serious themes with the whole, like, evil and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's really just nice to have that little spruce of Gabrielle.
Oh, I completely agree. I wish that Gabrielle was the same age as Ansel.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
They would make such a cute couple.
Right. Because he's, like, kind of quiet, but he'll amuse her thoughts.
They're like a young version of Lou and Reed.
Yeah, like a bit of banter and Lou keeps talking and just doesn't stop and Reed's like, that's not protocol.
Except Ansel's like so much funnier than Reed.
Yeah, oh, so
true. I feel like Reed has almost zero sense of humour and Ansel just, I love him, I really do.
That's so true. So Gabrielle leaves them to it. I think her mum's like, Gabrielle, oh, let the adults do the shit.
She's also like, your brother literally just died.
Yeah, true. She's a bit sad. And Ansel and Lou get to talk a bit about anything, but Lou wants to talk about Ansel's feelings for Coco.
Yeah, look, I don't know, I feel a bit weird about it. I'm just, how old is Coco?
I think she might be, I reckon she's 21 at the oldest.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Well, I just feel like 16 and 21, like, why? I don't know, I mean, obviously back then, maybe age gaps were fine.
Yeah.
But I feel like...
I feel like men being older was more fine, like...
Yeah, because I feel like men are sugar daddies.
Yeah, that's right, and women are cradle snatchers.
Yeah, but, like, for me now, like, when I was younger, like, in high school, if I had a crush on one of the student teachers, like, I'd be like, this isn't actually ever going to happen. Like, it's just, like, a silly little high school crush.
Yeah.
So I mean, again, maybe it's different, but I feel like Ansel probably should have recognized... But maybe because they actually interact and they're close. Yeah,
it's the context. Like, who knows?
Mm.
And so Ansel's basically like, I don't know. Like, I'm confused. And Lou's like, come on. Like, what do you feel? And what's the situation? And Ansel's like, I don't know. Like, she's great.
Yeah. And Lou's like, well, have you told her? And Ansel's like, no, because what if she doesn't return my feelings? And Lou's like, then you just got to move on. Such is life. And he's like, damn. And I think Lou just says she can see Ansel's heart breaking.
Yeah. Aww.
Poor Ansel. I love him so much.
Yes. And now there's a scene where all the witches are gathered to honour Etienne for, like, a funeral.
Yes, like a... I guess it's a ceremony of life.
Yeah.
And blessing his spirit as he travels to the afterlife.
Yes, exactly. And as the funeral is rounding up a little bit... All of a sudden, Ismay, Etienne's mother, starts screaming. And when Lou's kind of looking around, she realizes that it's because Gabrielle's gone.
Yes. And, yeah, Ismay is absolutely devastated. So everyone's looking for her, but...
She's gone.
It's too late. She's gone.
Yeah.
And we know... We just know she's dead.
Yeah.
Which is sad. I really loved her. I thought she was so sweet.
It's so sad.
And it also breaks my heart.
For Ismay?
Well, yeah, but also, like, I feel like this might have been, like, a symbolic event that I haven't quite interpreted. Like, I feel like maybe it's, like, the loss of innocence in their lives or something like that.
Yeah, like, the last little bit of light and it's, like, hopeless now.
Mm. But either way, like, she wanted to meet Reed so badly and yeah. I guess I'm really just upset for the loss of that... meeting.
Yeah, that potential relationship. I think
Reed would have loved
Gabrielle. Absolutely.
He would pretend to be annoyed, but yeah. He'd just love it so much. And they would be the ultimate duo.
Yeah, bantering all the time.
Yeah.
And she'll, like, tell him about her day, and it's literally not even that important, but he'll be like, oh, wow. That
sounds amazing. And yeah. She'd, like, sit on his shoulders. Oh, I'm just so sad.
So cute.
You know what? Reed would be a great dad.
He would. He would be the best. Like, Lou and Reed would make great children. And they'd be great parents. Because good cop, bad cop, like, for days.
Reed being bad cop?
Yeah.
I can't work it out. I feel like Lou could also be bad cop.
No, Reed's bad cop because he's a very conservative man. So they'll be like, I want to go with Uncle Ansel to the park. And he'll be like, no, you're not going. And then Lou will be like, all right, I'll give you the keys. Just be back before this specific time.
I don't know. I feel like Lou could be like, no, after my traumatizing childhood, you are literally staying in my line of sight at all times. And Reed's like, no, it's okay. I had Uncle Ansel babysit your mum as well. You know?
True.
I don't know. But I do, yeah, feel like maybe actually Lou's good cop and Reed's bad cop, but I'd like to see it the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, it's a balance. It's whatever. And obviously from these events, Coco's aunt is absolutely fuming and she's like, right, we're going to ally with you because we need to bring Morgan down, and she wants to rend Morgan's beating heart from her chest.
A little vicious.
I love it.
But I guess she's a blood witch. Like,
oh, true.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
That's right.
So now we're back to Reed's perspective, and it's the first performance he's ever gonna do. And he's wearing eyeliner, and I think it's hot.
It's so hot.
I think guys wearing eyeliner is just terrific.
I love guys wearing eyeliner, wearing skirts. Like, I just love it.
Skirts in general, I don't love.
I love guys wearing skirts. Like, when we were in high school and we did, like, a cross-dressing day or whatever, or if they just did it as a joke, when the guys were wearing skirts, I was like, damn, those calf muscles are freaking nice. Yeah,
but I don't know. Skirts in general, like, even on girls, I'm like, because maybe it's just my personal phobia of skirts.
Maybe.
Like, I just, personally, this is coming from, like, a literal bookworm who lives in pyjamas and, like, tracksuit and hoodies. But I just feel like it's very breezy.
I love it. Full flexibility. Oh,
you love the breeze?
I love skirts so much. They're great.
You and I could not dress more oppositely.
No, but that's good. I still borrow your clothes, though.
Yeah, like the tracksuit you just returned.
Yeah, perfect.
I'll borrow your nice clothes. You borrow my homeware.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, and Madame LaBelle comes and she, like, kind of pulls the mom card and she's like, let's talk about Louise. But then kind of transitions a little bit and she's like, I'm a little bit concerned that Lou might not be able to kill her mum when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
And Reed's like, no, she hates her mum. And Madame LaBelle's like, no, she loves her mum.
And that's why it makes her vulnerable.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's, again, really bad Christmas lunch.
Yes. And so we fast forward a bit of time and Reed's act is throwing knives, you know, for this weird circus performance gang. And Xena is doing some really fancy storytelling thing.
Yeah, I'm a bit confused what her act is, but I think it's very entrancing or something like that. Yeah,
it's like entertainment.
Yeah, but people are like so almost in a daze while staring. Anyway, something weird's going on there.
Love it.
I wouldn't be surprised if she's a bit of a witch as well.
Oh yeah, same. I think they're all witches.
And so after Reed's done his act, he's like wandering around. I guess they're kind of like at a carnival. I don't know. I'm a bit confused with the context.
Yeah.
And he bumps into Terry, and he's like, why don't you speak? And Terry just stares at him, and Reed's like, ah, right, you don't speak. And then all of a sudden, Terry speaks to Reed in his mind, and we find out that ages ago, I think Toulouse and Terry ran into some trouble, and maybe it was at Toulouse's fault or something, but as revenge to get back at Toulouse, these bad guys ended up cutting out Terry's tongue.
Yes.
Which is horrid.
That's disgusting.
It reminds me of someone. I can't work out who it is.
Like in the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
For those servants and stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
Cut out their tongues. I think they're called like the Oxes or something.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while since I've read the Hunger Games.
Yeah, same. They weren't really portrayed like at all in the movies, so I completely forgot about them.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyways. And this also kind of confirms that Terry is a witch.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And so Claude joins.
And Reed's like, are you a witch too?
Yeah, he's just like accusing everyone now.
And Claude's like, nah. And Reed's like, you gonna say anything else?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Claude is like the most random guy, but I love it. Like, I think Reed at this time is like, oh, now I don't know what I know. Like, I thought everyone was just people and only females were witches, and then I was, and now I think all guys are witches. Like, are there any humans left?
He's just super confused by the whole situation.
Yes.
But I think particularly he's confused by Claude.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Like, what are you?
Who isn't confused by Claude?
True. And Terry basically says in Reed's mind, magic, you think magic is a weapon, but you're wrong. You can use it however you want. Magic saves. And I thought that was really nice.
Me too. Like, if you have power, you can use it for good or for evil.
I think it can be applied to a lot of things, though, in life.
Mm, absolutely.
Like, the way you use something.
Mm-hmm. Like words.
Yeah, exactly.
You can literally say good things or bad things.
Mm.
Probably takes more effort to say bad things than good.
But you ultimately choose how
you affect others.
Yeah, exactly. I just love it. I think it's a really good line from Terry. Good job.
Too.
Good job for the man who doesn't speak.
Yes, well done. Great wise words. Anyways, and so 6 days pass after this last eyeliner hot knife throwing performance.
I love it.
Same. And Claude says that tonight Reed gets a special job, and that is to replace Seraphine and his act, which is the opening act, for the troupe.
And Reed, he says something like he feels like tonight's going to be different.
Yes.
And I'm like, how? Like, what does that feeling feel like?
Right. And so he heads to, like, the stage, and Claude is announcing that there is a new act.
And Reed looks, and he actually sees Lou strapped onto this board, just smiling at him. And she's wearing, like, a really wispy kind of dress.
Yeah.
And Reed's totally horny. And Lou says, hello, Shas. And Reed goes, hello, wife.
Oh, yeah.
And she totally also thinks the eyeliner is hot.
Yeah, Lou is us.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And, you know, to make this moment even better, Reed throws some knives at Lou.
Yeah. I think, yeah, that's the whole deal with the new act. It's like a don't hit, you know, like when people do like bow and arrow shooting, it's like the apple on the head.
Yeah.
That kind of situation. Anyway, and whilst this is going down, I think Reed's like low-key asking, he's like, did you get the alliance? And she's like, yeah, we did. And he's like, why were you literally so quick? Like, how?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, Coco did it all. And he's like, that's not adding up.
Mm.
And she's like, I said Coco did it all. And Reed's like, ooh, this is not good. And he knows she's lying.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he's blindfolded and he's got his throwing sword slash knives out and he just throws the knife at Lou and he takes his blindfold off and he sees that it's embedded beside her ear. He was intending for it to hit like above her head.
Yeah.
But he also notices the thin cut across her cheek.
Damn.
Yeah. Eek, that's going to be a little awkward later tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So after the performance is done, they all head back to the wagon, and Lou's kind of sad because people are singing Big Titty Liddy, but they were completely butchering it. And she's like, I'd do so much better. And Reed's like, oh, yeah, sure, I bet. And in the end, she's like, what's your type? And Reed's like, you know what? My type is girls who can't sing. Like, when you're singing and your voice cracks on the high note, oh, it really gets me. And then Lou cuts him off. But I know he was totally going to say, it really gets me going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It really gets me horny.
Exactly. Like, it really just, whew, cannot control himself.
Imagine if he was going to bet, it really gets me upset.
Yeah. Gets me really sad and depressed. Yeah,
that's right. But anyways, he gets cut off because Lou starts singing, belting Big Titty Liddy.
And Claude comes up and he's like, ah, oh, yes, I knew Liddy. Great gal. And Lou's Liddy's like, oh, my idol.
She is a real person.
That's so sad, though. Like, she's a real person. And like,
I can't sing about it. True.
Especially, like, nicknaming her Big Titty Liddy.
Maybe she wanted it.
Maybe. Maybe she started it.
Maybe.
The scandal.
Yeah, to make a name for herself. True.
Yeah.
Maybe she was one of the acts.
Mm.
She's like, welcome, Big Titty Liddy.
What accent is that? Is that, like, Russian? German?
German, yeah. Some European thing. I'm sorry.
Anyway, Lou, like, glances around and she sees Coco and Ansel looking really close, like, over, kind of away from everyone else. And upon closer inspection, she notices they're having a little bit of a kiss.
Having a smooch.
They are. And Coco's looking really stiff and awkward and it's just all around not a good vibe.
No.
So Lou goes to, like, check out the sitch, but discreetly. Mm-hmm. And she notices Ansel's crying and, oh, it's so bad.
It is.
And Reed's like, we shouldn't be part of this, like, it's not our place. And Lou's like, let's just be quiet and eavesdrop.
Yeah.
And Coco's like, oh, it was a mistake, I'm sorry. And Ansel's like, a mistake?
Mm.
You were the one who kissed me.
Yeah.
And he's just salty in general because Coco's been leading him on the whole time.
Yeah, but she says that she just wanted to do it one more time to be sure.
Yeah. Mm. She definitely realizes at this time that she loves him like a brother.
Yeah. And
not, which I feel like that's the worst possible thing you could say to someone.
Who's, like, in love. Like, Ansel's, yeah, like, infatuated.
Mm. I feel really bad for him.
Me too.
I love him so much, and he deserves every happiness in the world.
Oh, literally. And so now everyone's getting ready for bed, and Coco and Lou are lying there, and Coco's basically just like, I feel really bad about Ansel.
Mm.
I feel terrible.
And she just, yeah, she kind of just explains, like, she just had to see. And then she's like, maybe I do feel something for him. Maybe I can force myself to feel something. And Lou's like, ooh, that is literally the worst possible way to go. Like,
ooh, yeah.
If you have to force emotions for someone, they're probably not very genuine.
Yes.
I don't know. I think it's really sad.
Me too.
And it also made me sad that Coco felt so miserable. Like, the fact that, like, obviously I feel bad for Ansel, but I feel like she wants so badly to feel
whatever he feels towards her.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everyone else almost wants her to feel that way, and she just can't do it.
Yeah, I know. She put a lot of pressure on herself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, and they also briefly chat, and Coco mentions that she's been living with her aunt for so long, and apparently her aunt just said her mum is dead. But we don't know. There was never there was never any confirmation.
No, there wasn't.
I think this might be a third book plot point.
I hope so.
I think Coco's mum is going to come back.
I really hope so. That would be so interesting.
Oh, it would be terrific.
Yes. And Lou's also wondering where Reed is, because she hasn't seen him for a while.
It's been a hot second.
Yes. And as she's kind of pondering this, all of a sudden, a lot of men invade their camp.
So many.
Yes. So within these men, Lou notices a familiar face, and it is Baz.
Our boy Baz.
Yes. Not great news though, Baz. What you doing? And so Reed and Coco get up to fight, because they were literally getting ready for bed. Like, I think they're a bit, like, thrown.
Yeah.
And all the men are like, oh my gosh, it's Reed.
Like, this is the king's bastard.
Yeah, exactly. And Coco's like, Baz, it's me. And Baz is like, I literally don't know you. Get away from me.
I think she's like, what are you doing, Baz? And he's like, how do you know my name?
Yeah.
Like, who are you? And she's like, Baz, what the heck?
We literally grew up together. You slept with my bestie. Like, what is wrong
Don't you
with
remember?
You? Right.
And all whilst this is happening, Lou's hiding in the trees, I think, with Claude.
Yes.
Anyway, and the men start searching the area for Lou. Because obviously they're like, ah, oh, if Reed Diggory is here.
Yeah.
So will the witch.
Yes.
And Claude somehow makes an illusion so that the men think they're part of the tree and they just completely look over them.
It's so cool.
He's, I mean, he's not a witch, but we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know.
Mm. And things get worse because...
yeah, they do.
Because Baz ends up stabbing Reed in the stomach with a knife.
Yeah, look, not ideal.
No.
And Lou jumps up and runs out and she throws her dagger kind of at Coco's feet, hoping that Coco will, like, grab it.
Yeah.
And she, like, runs to Reed. And Coco ends up being a complete badass and she, like, grabs the knife and I think she kills one man, like, knocks out another. Anyway, she's, like, taking men down left, right, and center.
She's great.
And Lou's like, please, can you heal Reed?
Yes.
And she's like, yeah, I'm gonna get my blood and honey.
Mm-hmm. And now we're back in Reed's perspective and Coco's basically like, we have to go. Everyone is fighting. We have to go because you're hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so they find Lou.
Yeah, she's like, what the heck, Baz? Like, literally. And then she remembers that in Serpent and Dove, when he was captured, she took his memories of her.
Yes.
And of Coco and of their whole friendship in order. I think she took away both their memories or something like that.
Yes.
But she still remembers Baz in general.
Mm-hmm.
So she starts, like, yelling, like, she's like, remember me? You and I were, like, really close friends. And she's just, like, trying to rejig his memory, I guess.
Yes.
And, yeah, Coco's like, what are you doing? You're literally gonna hurt yourself. And they both collapse, I think. Like, mm-hmm. It's too much. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know the logistics of magic, but I feel like you shouldn't override what's already been
done.
Yeah,
that's right. Maybe she was trying to break the rules. Yeah, that makes sense.
And I feel like that was not a vibe mm-hmm. for the goddess of magic, or yeah. whatever we want to call it.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so Baz eventually remembers, and by now, Lou's already collapsed, and he's like, Louie, wake up! Yeah, she's not doing so well.
No, not at all.
But she is well enough that she sees the leader of the men climb up kind of behind them all,
mm-hmm.
and she grabs Reed's balisada out of his bandolier,
yeah.
and she throws it at the guy, but she misses, and the tree eats Reed's balisada.
It's a hungry tree.
Reed's devastated.
Yeah.
Because he's like, without my balisada,
Who am I?
Nothing. Yeah, no. Like, his purpose in life was to be a chasseur.
Yeah.
Anyway, all in all, it ain't good. And it's just...
Yeah, this battle was very messy.
Yeah, it wasn't great. And also, there's still, like, things aren't great between Lou and Reed.
No, things aren't great between Lou and anyone.
Mm.
Everyone is just in conflict at the moment.
Yeah.
So we're back in Lou's perspective and, you know, they're continuing on their journey. And Claude's basically saying, like, all right, you guys run. I'ma catch up with you later.
Yeah, Lou's, like, super sus. And Claude's like, yeah, I'm super old.
Mm-hmm.
But I'ma not tell you how old I am. At this point, I was like, is he God?
True. Is he some sort of creature that we haven't even encountered yet? Is he so old that he pretends that he's not because he has so much power?
Come back for our part two review of Blood and Honey to find out.
Yeah. Anyways, and so Lou goes over to Reed and it's really awkward because so much tension, and especially during the battle scene, like, It was just so much tension.
Still really upset about his balisada.
Oh, absolutely. Because that's like his hair. Like, Lou was really upset about her hair, and he's upset about his balisada.
I mean, I feel like maybe the balisada has a bit more meaning to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, I think it's completely fair he's upset.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that was the first time he felt like he had a place in the world.
Yes, he's belonging. Very exactly. True. Exactly.
They kind of also briefly talk about the werewolves, mm-hmm. because Reed plans to see if he can ally them together. And he also has a journal out, I think, and Lou flips through it and she's like, you killed some werewolves to be initiated into the Chasseurs, didn't you? And he's like, yeah, the Archbishop even gifted me a bone after I killed the werewolf. And Lou's like, well, do you think they'll recognize you? And Reed's like, look, I'd say so, considering I killed the pack leader's son.
Whoopsies.
Oopsie. In hindsight, wish I hadn't have done that.
Yeah, that's awkward. But at least it kind of overpowers the awkwardness between Lou and Reed.
Yeah, true.
Whoops. So the pack leader's name is Blaze, and Reed's plan is basically to challenge Blaze to a duel in order to fulfill this, like, blood debt.
And Lou's like, but what happens if you lose?
Yeah. And Reed's like, if I lose, I will die.
And that, ladies and gents, is where we're going to leave the first half of Blood and Honey.
Yes, come back later in the week to listen to our discussion about part two of Blood and Honey.
Hopefully this will want you wanting more.
Yes, definitely.
What did you think of the first half?
I thought it was okay. I mean, when I was looking back through, like, a summary of everything, I'm like, it makes sense. But I feel like a lot of it was, like, in limbo. Like, they were just traveling places and, like, I feel like none of the characters that they met were fully developed properly.
I had a bit of a hard time with this book. Like, to be honest, Reed and Lou being separated, I was not here for it. And yeah, the whole time neither. I was like, can they just get back together already? Yes,
usually they don't wait this many pages to bring them back together. Usually it's just a little errand.
Yeah, but when I was reviewing the book for this episode, I actually did enjoy it more than I did the first read, and yeah. I think it's maybe because I've picked up on more subtleties and things like that.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it's not too bad so far.
No, I'm very excited to review the second half.
Yes. So that being said, make sure you come back next week. If you have any comments on the episode or you just want to have a bit of a chat, our email is linked down below, and so is our Linktree, which includes our Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
Yes. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. We've really enjoyed recording it.
And we appreciate that you guys listen.
Absolutely. So we'll see you next time.
Bye.